Today, we read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, Text 52. Please repeat. Shri Yaksha Uchu,
Shri Yaksha Uchu,
Vayam,
Anuchara Mukhya,
Karmabhi, Che, Manavyai, Che, Iha, Diti Sutena, Kapita, Vahakatvam, Satu Janaparitapam Janata Ke Narahara Upanita Panchatam Panchavimsha Shri Yaksha Uchu, Vayam Anuchara Mukhya Karma Bhiste Mano Gyae, Ta Iha Diti Sutena Paripavakatvam, Satu jana paritapam tatkritam janataye
Satu jana paritapam tatkritam
Narahara upanita panchatam panchavimsha
Narahara
Shriyaksha Uchu,
Shriyaksha Uchu.
The inhabitants of the Yaksha planet prayed. Vayam,
we.
Anuchara Mukhya, the chief among your many servants. Karmabhi, by services, te, unto you, manogyai, very pleasing, te,
they,
iha, at the present moment, diti sutena, by Hiranyakashipu, the son of Diti, Prapita, forced to engage us, Vahakatvam, the palanquin carrier, Sa, he, to, but, Jana Paritapam, the miserable condition of everyone. Tatkritam, caused by him. Janata, knowing. Te, by you. Narahara, O Lord, in the form of Nishinha. Upanita is put to.
Panch
Panchatam.
Panchatam.
Da.
Panchavinsha.
Panchavinsha. O 25th principle.
O 25th principle.
The controller of the other 24 elements. Translation. The inhabitants of Yakshaloka pray, O controller of the 24 elements, we are considered the best servants of your lordship because of rendering services pleasing to you. Yet we were engaged as palanquin carriers by the order of Hiranyakashipu, the son of Diti. O Lord, in the form of Nrisimhadeva, you know how this demon gave trouble to everyone. But now you have killed him, and his body is mixing with the five material elements. Please repeat. The inhabitants of Yakshaloka pray.
The inhabitants of Yakshaloka pray.
O controller of the 24 elements.
O controller of the 24 elements.
We are considered the best servants of your lordship.
We are considered the best servants of your lordship.
Because of rendering services pleasing to you. Yet we engage as palanquin carriers.
Yet we engage as palanquin carriers.
By the order of Hiranyakashipu.
By the order of Hiranyakashipu.
The son of Diti.
The son of Diti.
O Lord, in the form of Nrisimhadeva.
O Lord, in the form of Nrisimhadeva.
You know how this demon gave trouble to everyone.
You know how this demon gave trouble to everyone.
But now you have killed him.
And his body is mixing
with the five material elements. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord is the controller of the 10 senses, the five material elements, the five sense objects, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, and the soul. Therefore, he is addressed as Panchavinsha, the 25th element. The inhabitants of the Yaksha planet are supposed to be the best of all servants, but Hiranyakashipu engaged them as palanquin carriers. The entire universe was in trouble because of Hiranyakashipu. But now that Hiranyakashipu's body was mixing with the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, everyone felt relief. Upon Hiranyakashipu's death, the Yakshas were reinstated in their original service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus they felt obliged to the Lord and offered their prayers. Om Jnana Kimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishnu Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Padati Swapadanakitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachaline Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshatarine Panchakalpa Tiruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivatsadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. are reading the story of the demon Hiranyakashipu and ultimately how he was killed by the Shrinidev. Hiranyakashipu performed great austerities, and by his austerities he was granted several boons that made him believe that he was immortal. That was what he wanted, to become immortal. And with his powers and with the boons, he conquered the universe and subjugated the citizens of the higher planets, the demigods, and engaged them in his service. But Hiranyakashipu had a son named Prahlad, who was instructed in the womb by Narada Muni during the fighting between Hiranyakashipu and the demons and Indra and the demigods. At one stage, the demigods got the upper hand, and they took possession of Hiranyakashipu's wife, and she was pregnant. The demigods thought that she must be carrying, or that she was carrying the seed of Hiranyakashipu in her womb, and that the child will be a great demon, like Hiranyakashipu. But Narada appeared on the scene and told them that no, the child will be a great devotee. Don't kill him. And out of respect for the order of the sage, the demigods desisted, and Narada took the pregnant mother with him to his ashram and gave her protection there. And while there, he instructed the mother, but the son in the womb was hearing the instruction. He instructed the mother in spiritual knowledge, in bhakti yoga. And the result was that Prahlad became a great devotee. But in any case, as far as the fighting is concerned, ultimately Hiranyakashipu was victorious, and he took back his wife, and eventually he discovered that Prahlad was a great devotee of Vishnu. And Hiranyakashipu was the avowed enemy of Vishnu, because Vishnu had killed his younger brother, Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyakashipu vowed to avenge the death of his brother and kill Vishnu. Of course, Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one can kill him. But Hiranyakashipu, being in the mood of a demon, thought that the Lord was an ordinary mortal, just one who had more powers. Just like Hiranyakashipu for himself, he developed tremendous powers by his austerities. So by austerities and penances, one can develop powers. By the practice of yoga, one can develop powers. But if one's heart is impure, one will use one's strength and power for the wrong purposes. So Hiranyakashipu thought that Vishnu was a man like him who had some mystic powers, as he did. And he also thought that Vishnu had a psychological propensity or weakness to like flatterers, because Vishnu is always surrounded by demigods and saints and sages who are singing his glories. So he thought that Vishnu was partial to people who flatter him, which would have been the case of Hiranyakashipu, Atmavan Manite Jagat, as he thought that others thought the same way. As he liked to be flattered, he thought that Vishnu also liked to be flattered. And as he was absorbed in the conception of friends and enemies, he thought that Vishnu also was absorbed in such conceptions. And he considered his flatterers to be his friends, and people like Hiranyakashipu and demons to be his enemies. So when Hiranyakashipu discovered that Prahlad was a devotee of Vishnu, he became furious. First he tried to reform him. And of course he was his son. He had natural affection for his son. So he tried to reform him and bring him back to what he considered to be the proper consciousness of being a materialist whose aim was sense gratification, and who was against Vishnu. But all of his attempts failed. He compared Prahlad to the tail of a dog. Some dogs have a curved tail that come up, you try to smooth it down, and it keeps coming up again. So no matter what he did to try to straighten out Prahlad, he kept coming back up as a devotee of Vishnu. And then he decided to kill him. He felt that if he didn't kill him, then this disease of Vishnu Bhakti would spread. Although he was his own son, but he was diseased. So just like part of your own body might be diseased, but if you can't cure the disease might spread, so you have to amputate. So he concluded he had to kill Prahlad. And when he started to torture Prahlad and try to kill him, that was when Nrsimhadeva appeared. That was the one thing that the Lord could not tolerate. His devotee was being tortured. And then he appeared from the pillar at the threshold of the palace and killed Hiranyakashipu. So here we have Nrsimhadeva sitting on the throne of Hiranyakashipu in a ferocious mood, in a furious mood, and everyone in the universe afraid of the Lord's anger and imagine they've been subjugated by Hiranyakashipu, and here Nrisimhadeva came and killed him, but he was so ferocious and furious, and nothing seemed to be able to pacify him. So anyway, the demigods, in an effort to please the Lord and pacify him, came forward and offered various prayers. And the verse we just read is the prayer of the residents of Yakshaloka. There is life on other planets. As Srila Prabhupada said, God didn't just throw clumps of earth into space for no purpose. He created the different planets as places of residence for different grades of beings. Everything within the material universe has a purpose, and the general purpose is to give the fallen souls a chance to become reformed, become devotees of Vishnu or Krishna, and return home, go back home, back to Godhead. But because different living entities have different mentalities and propensities, so they're placed in environments that are suitable for their mentalities and activities, and that are appropriate in terms of what the living entities deserve in terms of their karma. They get just the amount of enjoyment and suffering, pain and pleasure that they deserve. So the inhabitants of the higher planets in particular are devotees, but they're not pure devotees, and that's why they're still in the material world. They have material desires, but they are devotees. They accept the supremacy of the Lord, and they engage in the service of the Lord. So here, the residents of Yakshaloka come forward, and they address the Lord as the 25th element, the controller of the other 24. The scientists are always analyzing the material nature and discovering elements and making lists of elements. But the most important elements are the individual soul, that's the 24th, and then the supreme soul, the 25th. They always miss them. As Srila Prabhupada said, they look in their microscopes, magnifying more and more, seeing things that are smaller and smaller, but they will not see that Vishnu is there. Although he is, but they will not see him. So they miss the point, and that, of course, is the problem of the present civilization. They miss the point. All they know is matter. They don't know about spirit, the soul, the relationship between the soul and the super soul, and the relationship between them. And this gross body is made of the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. And when the body dies, because the body is always dead, but when the soul leaves the body, then the body, which is made of these five material elements, mixes with the same five elements, the conservation of matter. The earth in the body mixes with the earth outside the body, and so on. The water in the body mixes with the water outside the body, and so on. And there's nothing left of it. So, Hiranyakashipu took the best of the servants of Lord Vishnu and engaged them in his service. And although these devotees were so qualified in pleasing the Lord, he engaged them to carry his power. So this is demonic. The constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. He was served by Krishna and the Kedas. So to want to engage others in our service is demonic. And that's pretty much what everyone in the material world tries to do. They're always thinking what they can get out of other people. They want to exploit others and engage them in their service, their Krishna service. So Hiranyakashipu was like that. There was a demonic political party in Madras. Anyway, that's another subject, I think, much power. But that's demon crazy, has called democracy demon crazy. Somehow or other, these demons get votes, and they capture the highest post, and they plunder. Their only business is to plunder. This is mentioned in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the symptoms of the age of Kali. He said they don't pickpocket. Pickpocket means someone very cleverly puts his hand in your pocket and takes the money out and you don't know it. But the specific word in Sanskrit is plunder. A plunderer means he comes by force and, you know, grabs you by the throat and takes your money. So what they do is they pass laws. I mean, it would depend on the culture and the country, but they pass laws that allow them to take your money. You know they're taking your money, but there's nothing you can do about it. And then they divide it among themselves. So this party in Madras, they were openly demonic. And they made a rule, because in India, especially then, that was when I first went to India, quite a few years ago, people would always have pictures of Krishna, Ram, Vishnu, demigods, everywhere, you know, in their cars, in their offices, in their shops, of course, in their homes. And that was common, you know, in the post office or bank or wherever you went. So they passed a law that no pictures of gods or goddesses or God. But of course, you could have the picture of the chief minister. And It reminded me of Hiranyakashipu. That's what he did. No more worship of Vishnu, no more praying to Vishnu, no more sacrifices to Vishnu. Just worship me and serve me. That's demand. And devotees, they're the opposite. Demons, they want to exploit. And devotees, they want to serve. They want to encourage others in service to Vishnu. And in between are the impersonalists. They want to become null and void. No exploitation and no service, just nothing. So we, as aspiring devotees, are trying to emerge from the demonic mentality of exploiting and wanting to engage others in our service to the godly mentality of wanting to serve God and encourage others in service to God. But because we come from that conditioning, having been born in the material world, we might also have some vestiges of that tendency to exploit others and want others to serve us. And of course, because we're serving Krishna, it becomes a little subtle. You know, you think, I'm serving Krishna, so if you serve me, you're also serving Krishna through me. And that's true. That's true. If you're completely pure and you're doing nothing but serving Krishna, your only desire is to serve Krishna, then if someone serves you, then whatever service he offers to you will be passed on to Krishna. And that's the principle of parampara. You know, one after the other. You know, you serve me, I serve my master. He serves his master, and ultimately it goes to Krishna. The same applies to everyone. So we have to be careful of that demonic tendency to want to engage others in our own service, which doesn't necessarily mean that we don't engage. Well, actually, Srila Prabhupada did say that if someone asks us to do some service, we should always say yes. And if someone asks us if they can do any service for us, we should always say no. That's really the best. But practically, because we are a missionary movement, it's a combined effort. It's a combined effort. So there has to be cooperation. Cooperation means sometimes I serve you, sometimes you serve me, but it's all meant for the pleasure of Krishna. And that is bhakti, to give pleasure to Krishna. And that's the only criterion. Not to enjoy, not to renounce, but to give pleasure to Krishna. Like Srila Prabhupada says, sometimes if it's favorable for Krishna's service to live under a tree, we'll live under a tree. If it's favorable to Krishna's service to live in a mansion, we'll live in a mansion. But the criterion is what is favorable for Krishna's service, not what is favorable for my sense gratification. When I left Santa Barbara. The weather was beautiful. It was like 70 degrees, sunny, just like heaven. And I heard it was snowing in Dallas. Am I crazy or something? But then I thought of Srila Prabhupada. He was in Bombay in 1971, and he was preparing to go to Russia, to Moscow. And Malati Dasi, our god sister, said to Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, you're leaving Bombay just when the mango season is beginning." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Preaching in the snows of Russia is sweeter than the sweetest mango." So that's the standard. It's to please Krishna, and that's how the devotee experiences pleasure. That's how he perceives happiness, and the happiness of Krishna. He doesn't perceive any other kind of happiness in the interaction of the senses with the objects of the senses. So we have to develop that taste for serving Krishna, where we get so much more pleasure out of serving Krishna, or at least we know that the potential for pleasure in serving Krishna is much greater than any other pleasure, that we put all of our efforts into that activity. And of course our main practice, and I do come back to it because it's so important. Our main practice is chanting the holy name, and chanting the holy name with attention. In the beginning, our minds do tend to wander because we're conditioned, we're used to thinking of so many things, and placing ourselves in the position of Krishna as the enjoyer, so we think of what to enjoy, all the things we can enjoy, and as the proprietor, thinking of all the things that we possess or want to possess, and thinking ourselves as the controller, how we can control things to get more, to enjoy. But when we realize that actually the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, the pleasure of chanting the holy name, is so much greater, then we let go of the other thoughts. They come and go, but we don't hold on to them. We go back to the holy name. Once one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, what do we do with the mind when we chant, or how do we control the mind when we chant? And Srila Prabhupada said, the mind? You chant with your tongue and you hear with your ears. Where's the question of the mind? Mind doesn't enter the picture at all. And actually it's true. The higher than the mind is the intelligence. And the intelligence is what guides our attention. You know, when the mind is wandering here and there, the intelligence will say, okay, now we have to hear the holy name. But actually, the mind isn't required. It's just the intelligence. The intelligence will keep us focused on the sound of the holy name, which is basically an activity of the tongue and the ears. But the more our senses are engaged in Krishna, the easier it is to either focus the mind or calm the mind. And one of the techniques in chanting is to look at the words of the mantra. Actually, many devotees have experienced that when their minds wander too much and they just can't bring it back to the sound of the mantra, if they look at the words to the mantra, then it helps them to focus the mind, and then when they get back into the groove of chanting and hearing them, they can continue. They don't have to look at the words. So, you know, Jerry was on an airplane yesterday. It's harder on the airplane because the environment isn't very conducive. But then I thought, well, I just have to look at the words. And here they are. Many beatbacks have the words. So I was just sitting, I had my hand in my beads, and I was looking at the words, and it worked. It worked just like in a temple room or in a sanctuary. And then when you actually start to relish, and you know, you don't care about anything, just close your eyes. Fall asleep. yesterday I was hearing a tape by Śrīla Prabhupāda, and he was discussing this verse, Śrīmatā Svakatā Krishna Punyashravana Kirtana, about the value of hearing. He said, actually hearing, not sitting in the class and speaking. Just relish the holy name. I didn't even want to get off the plane. Not here. Not here, but the connecting flight in LA, I didn't want to get off the plane from Santa Barbara. So that's our goal, to chant and hear and relish and distribute. And that cleanses away, Chaito Dharpano Marginam cleanses away all the dirty things. And the basis of the dirty things, as Śrīla Prabhupāda said, is identifying with the body. Everyone identifies with the body. So Chaito Dharpano Marginam, that cleanses the false identification with the body. So we realize we're the eternal servants of Krishna, and then instead of working for the body, we work for Krishna. And we're happy to do it. In another lecture, Śrīla Prabhupāda, amazing, like the very first thing he said is that everyone identifies with some party, some group or some party, based on the body. But we identify with Krishna's party. That should be our goal. So even millions of years ago, Hiranyakashipu, we had his party, and, you know, but Prahlāda didn't join his party. He was in Vishnu's party, and that was the basis of conflict. But even though materially Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, in the end he was killed by the Lord. And then all the citizens of the universe who had been oppressed by the demon, they were relieved. And the main relief wasn't that, you know, they were relieved from their material miseries, but the real relief was that they could engage in the service of the Lord again. Mm-hmm. the greatest hardship, having to serve a demon instead of the Lord. And so they felt very relieved and happy that they could return to their constitutional position as servants of the Lord. And therefore they offer their prayers to Krishna Dev. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Why, we were talking about the demonic party in Madras. Why do the voters repeatedly put their faith in the new guy, even though the politicians fail to deliver time after time?
Oh, he's asking why people voted for the demonic party and even reelected it.
Aren't they all demons? I'm talking in general.
Oh.
They become very enthusiastic, you know, about the latest candidate.
A lot of people at all. Yeah. Well, because they're in Maya. They're in illusion. They don't see the obvious. When I first joined, Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, basically people want sense gratification. And the politicians offer sense gratification. So they will vote for the person or the party whom they feel will give them the most sense gratification. But the nature of sense gratification is such that the senses are never satisfied. And it's just so true what Srila Prabhupada said. So they'll let one party, and then after some time they'll become, you know, disappointed and frustrated. So then they'll vote out that party and vote in another party. And then after some time they'll be disappointed and frustrated with them, they'll vote them out and vote in another party. And the cycle continues. That's exactly what happens. In India, it began at a certain stage and it continued until 1977, Indira Gandhi had declared a state of emergency and she assumed absolute power like a dictator. And then, and during that period, everyone was flattering her, you know. And she thought, actually, people love me, you know. So she became overconfident. She thought, oh, people love me, you know? I can call elections. And then in the elections, she was defeated. So everyone was like jubilant, you know, like she's out, you know, the new people are in. And Prabhupada was staying in his new quarters in Jubal then. He commented that the people are jubilant, you know. The tiger is gone, the tiger is gone. They don't know that in place of the tiger they got a lion. But it's no different. You know, even if you got devoured by one or the other, it's no different. So, like Sapasyati and Pasyati, they see but they don't see. They see that whoever they elect is corrupt, exploits them, and fails to deliver. But they don't see. They see it, but they don't see it, and they keep repeating the cycle of choosing a new one and voting him in, and then being disgusted, and then voting him out of his party, out of him. So, identify with Krishna's party. in Bombay, I ran into Bala Vancha Prabhu, who Srila Prabhupada had encouraged to run for office in the God We Trust Party. And, you know, if there was a candidate representing God or serving God, then, you know, that would be different. Like once in the, I guess it was late 60s, when there was the war in Vietnam, the young men were being drafted, and there was so much protest. And so like one young man who was avoiding the service in Vietnam, he took shelter in a church, like a claimed sanctuary in a church. And so it was a big fight. He was in the church, and the police were coming to try to get him for evading the draft. And all the, you know, like the young people were protesting, and they were supporting the young man. So the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, what should they do? Like, should they join the protest? And Prabhupada said that actually they're all the same. Because when it comes to meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling, they're all the same. They're all for it. So we can't really support any of them. But of course, in one sense, there could be a difference. Although personally they may be like that, but the one difference could be if one type of government is more favorable for Krishna consciousness. Say like in Russia, at least now the devotees, they can practice Krishna consciousness. The leaders still eat meat, they still take intoxicants, they still do all those things, but at least the devotees can practice Krishna consciousness, so that's definitely preferable. That's important. Practice and preach. Okay. Thank you. Oh yes, Rupanuga Prabhu.
Maharaj, do we know what Srinath was doing during the time of Rirani Kashyapu writing?
What, who is doing?
Srinara.
Narada. Oh. Yeah, in some places, Rupanuga Prabhu was asking, do we know what Srinara was doing during Rani Kashyapu's reign? And in some places it's mentioned that he also had to serve him. Really only Brahma and Shiva were exempted. But given his ability to travel, and this is a bit of speculation, but he might have just gone sometimes and flattered him and done a little service and then gone back to his ashram, because his wife was being protected at his ashram. Prabhupada's protected. But, some details aren't mentioned. And there are other scriptures, but because we're so meager on the earth planet, as it is, what we have in Srimad Bhagavatam is so much for us. But Srila Prabhupada said on the higher planets, the Srimad Bhagavatam is like hundreds of times longer than what we have. We can only absorb so much. So we don't have every detail. But, he delivered the book. He knew he could see into the future. He knew Prahlad would be a great devotee. And he gave him the instructions that guided him throughout his life. Okay, thank you very much. I'm glad to see you about it. Thank you very much.
Okay, would you like to find my...
Yeah.